Back on Downtown. It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Hello there, sir.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Outstanding. How are you today?
I'm particularly okay. I feel bad. I heard your news about Chita Rivera. I had to write to a former colleague and classmate of, or schoolmate of mine, who was in the visit.
Oh, wow.
Created his role was very friendly with her during the last years of her life. So I had to write and say, I'm sorry for your loss. That must have just happened very recently in at least the news. So that's a bummer. Life well lived, certainly from entertainment theater perspective, from my life long ago. Aside from that, things are just absolutely crazy. As soon as you get out of the Christmas holidays, if you're a parent now, we're looking at high schools for my daughter, and signing the kids up for summer and jobs and everything. Things are good though. Listen, I have something to read that I just came up with, and then we're going to get into wine. This is for Bruce Pratt. Okay, I know he's doing some poetry for a UMaine alum, and so I figured I'd come up with my own. So bear with me, UMaine community and Rich. There was a young wing named Korea, who in fact was not from Korea. A guy named Eric could not make rhymes stick when confronted with a name like Korea. However, he'd a tender named Dunham, who, when he saw pucks, he would shun him. He then went to play behind the goalie of the day, who stopped all the pucks as they won him.
Wow.
That's for you, Bruce.
Nicely done there, Eric. I like that.
And no cursing. So everybody.
When you started, I said, man, this is a limerick. I'm in trouble. I hope that button works over there.
You got the button. That's good.
Yeah. No one was from Nantucket, so I thought we were okay.
No, I think so. Then we drifted into Jersey, and you're like, all bets are off.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So last week we were talking a little bit about how to get to know more about wine without having to do ridiculous things like paying thousands of dollars for some, wine education or sommelier course that you would never actually particularly use things that it's very easy to waste money. Whereas I don't think you really need to, in as much as you need to, as I reminded people, just essentially interact, sit down with, share food with, share tables with, people who are in the industry, and read. There's tons of stuff available both on the internet and in good old hardback and paperback books. But the other thing I was talking about is getting out and seeing things. And I started to sort of touch on where you could go, but I wanted to today talk a little bit more about what you might see and why you might see it. And I guess I'll sort of start this by saying that I'm going to start to talk about hybrid varietals and climate change. Sorry, bear with me. Assuming for starters that everybody actually believes that climate change is real, and it is, I started to talk about what that means for the varying appellations, reminder that means, sort of the delimited zones where these wines are made. They're all changing right now, in some ways, extraordinarily drastically. And I wanted to talk about hybrid varietals today, but as I'm talking about this, I want you to kind of think of it as sort of an expeditionary front. It's places where you see these things now are where you're going to start to see eventually the vitis vinifera, that is the grapes that we quote like to drink, coming on later. This is affected heavily mostly by water. I mean, as is everything. I've even started to talk to my children, sadly, about the fact that we're going to see like wars over water in the future, in their lifetimes. And it is definitely starting to affect places around the Mediterranean basin, for instance, places in Australia. Certainly, you're having all sorts of sweeping climatological effects in places like California, where you're having wildfires one day and flash floods the next day. It's going to affect these known regions to the point where we're obviously going to be looking for new regions. And as I said, you can sort of think about the hybrid varietals that I'm going to start to talk about in ways as an expeditionary force. It's like, okay, what can we plant here now to see what will work and what won't work when we actually want to use this land to do stuff on a mass commercial basis, which, let's be honest, hybrid varietals are not really built for because they just don't have as broad an appeal. But we'll talk about that. So talking grapes in general, right? Vitis means grapevine, and it has many species, obviously. There's tons of different grapevines that were native to North America, a lot that aren't. There are 79 different species, right? And not everyone actually produces grapes. Most do, but some actually don't. Most are found in North America and Eastern Asia, but the one that I, remind you, Vitis vinifera, that we like to drink, is not native to North America. It is from the Euro-Asian continent, somewhere in the amorphous Middle Eastern bridge into Europe, somewhere basically between Iran and the Balkans. So, if we find someone that old, maybe they can tell us. But that's the one that we like to drink. And viticulture is to work with grapevines, right? Vitis, viticulture. So the other grape varieties, or species rather, that you may know, again, Vitis labrusca, which is the foxy vine that they found along the northeast, which they still make, like Concord grapes, that's labrusca. Vitis riparia, which is also known as the riverbank vine, which is often made into jams. Vitis rotundifolia, also from the East Coast, most famous down in the North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia region for muscadine wines. So anybody who's ever been down there knows those. So the deal is basically a lot of people, especially in university settings, said, okay, well, we want to drink wine, but we don't necessarily want to drink wine that tastes like these grapes specifically. So they started crossing, as is very easy with grapes because they're extraordinarily mutatable. You can sort of play around with them in labs. And so they indeed do that. So hybrid grapes are, interestingly enough, crossings of two different Vitis species, but they're not vinifera. So Cabernet Sauvignon, like, not involved, but grapes like Vidal Blanc, Baco Noir are. Places like universities like Cornell, places you'd expect, University of Minnesota, places in Austria, Switzerland, these are the places that are doing it. Originally, when they were doing this in America, efforts were being made to sort of stop the huge botanical mistake, which was sending grape clippings over to Europe. As you all recall, that's what led to the phylloxera outbreak in Europe. So the initial efforts here were to try and to quell that, which is where we found out that grafting was better than trying to cross grape species. Instead, just take the rootstock and graft the Vitis vinifera onto that. However, they did find a lot of these new grapes that are good for the shorter growing seasons or combating issues like mildew, for instance. And so these are the grapes now that you're finding in places like Maine, like the Niagara Peninsula, again, in places like Switzerland, high altitude, short growing season, things like that. So notable ones that you may see out there in the world before I run out of time, probably the most famous one is Vidal Blanc, which you see, especially, as I said, for people who travel throughout the sort of Niagara Peninsula, Quebec, etc. Vidal Blanc, you're going to see ice wines, still wines made from that. Frontenac, Maréchal Foch, Léon Mio, the aforementioned Baco Noir, which is sort of like a Pinot Noir. They're not the vinifera equivalents, but they're pretty darn cool and tasty. And as I said, think of them as the expeditionary force, because soon climate change will change these places into places where we can grow Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, Riesling, etc. So that's my spiel, and I'm sticking to it. Next time we're going to start, as I said, to talk about wine agriculture and the life cycle of wine. And in the meantime, I hope everybody's well. And if anybody's being interviewed for the commander's job, apparently I didn't get it, so good luck.
Well, their loss, I would say.
Well, I just done.
There you go. Thanks, Eric. Have a good week. See you next time.
Be well. Bye-bye.
Eric Mahon, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle.